Welcome to Plot Twist Rants, where the twist is that my rants are about actual important topics, and my claims are backed by evidence. What a concept. To kick this episode off, I'm going to take a moment to explain what you've gotten yourself into. This episode is going to be about a homicide investigation. It took place in Baltimore, Maryland in 1999. I recently finished listening to the popular podcast Serial in my English class, and I'm going to share my thoughts on the case. This case isn't one that's remarkable in any way. There was an overabundance of violence or a scandal that was uncovered. The case is simple. An 18-year-old girl named Haman Lee was strangled to death in Baltimore by her ex-boyfriend, Adnan Syed. He was later arrested and sentenced to life in prison. Like I said, the case is simple, but tragic. And that's all this was. That is, until a woman named Sarah Koenig decided to thoroughly investigate the case and create a podcast about her investigation. This was the one I mentioned earlier, called Serial. Now, many people have started to believe that Adnan is innocent because of the podcast. This is an absolute outrage, to me, for a few reasons. My main overarching issue being that people aren't looking at the case objectively. They're using emotional appeal rather than actual fact, which is the exact opposite of how a case is supposed to be investigated. The detectives are supposed to look at the facts and provide evidence to the prosecution. Not say, well, he didn't do it because he looks too nice. That's why cops are taken off cases if there's a conflict of interest. It's how our law system works. It's absolutely idiotic to say that somebody can't have done a crime because they're nice. And it's the prime reason why we don't just leave cases up to random people who don't know what they're doing. For example, you can't just walk into a bakery, pick up an apron, and start cooking because, oh, you saw it on television one time. If someone did that, people would be astounded and go up to them and say, hey, you can't do that. But for some reason, we as citizens seem to think it's okay to do that to the law enforcement and to the court system. Now, I respect Sarah Koenig as a reporter and for what she wanted to do, but the effect she had on her listeners is something I cannot stand behind. The rest of this episode, I plan on talking about why I think Adnan is guilty. You know, other than the fact that he was convicted for murder. So if you haven't listened to Serial, I would suggest not listening to the rest of this, or to go listen to Serial so that you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go over every piece of evidence in detail as she did on the podcast. It's already been done. What I'm going to do is refute main innocence arguments and mention main points in the prosecution. So, let's get into this. In the actual case, there is more pointing to Adnan's guilt than his innocence, which is why he was convicted. The key piece of evidence was a testimony from his friend, Jay. Many Serial listeners advocating for Adnan's innocence point out that Jay is not a credible witness. Their reasons range from him changing his story multiple times and, I quote, he sounds kinda sketchy, end quote. Wow. Let me just ask the obvious question that this proposes. How does one quantify sketchiness? Are there certain inflections or tone qualities that I should look out for? Because being able to tell the difference is not something I've been able to figure out. If someone presents to me a scientific algorithm that can quantify sketchiness and then uses that invention to prove that Jay is indeed sketchy based upon his voice, tone, inflection, then I'll consider it to be a valid piece of evidence. But until that point, it's invalid. Secondly, to their point of he changed his story, I'd be more worried if Jay didn't change his story, because people, especially ones under the influence of illegal substances, as Jay admitted to being many times, don't have a perfect memory. In fact, scientific studies by Dr. Karim Nader have shown that memories are changed every time we remember them. His research showed that significant painful memories, such as the 9/11 attacks, President Kennedy's assassination, or maybe the murder of a classmate and or friend, are typically altered much more than others due to the frequency of recollection. With this in mind, it becomes reasonable, even reassuring, that Jay's story changed. It shows that he most likely has remembered this event many times because it was so painful to go through. For goodness sake, if the murder of a friend wasn't enough, his girlfriend's life was threatened, and he was still brave enough to go to the police knowing he had to say that he helped bury the body. Which, this leads into my next question. Why would you incriminate yourself if you didn't actually do it? Jay has absolutely no reason whatsoever to talk to the police if he had nothing to do with this. Him and Adnan are friends, with no grudges against either one of them. So what's his motive to lie?
The only person who does have motive to lie is Adnan, and he's already known for lying. His entire relationship with Hay could only happen if he lied to his parents, which he chose to do. I'm not trying to say that lying about a relationship makes you a murderer, but an argument I keep hearing is that, well, he's a good kid who wouldn't ever do something wrong. This is easily refuted because obviously he'd do the wrong thing. He often lied to his parents and smoked illegal drugs on a regular basis. That's not to mention the times that he stole money from the mosque. He's not this golden child that he was painted to be for much of the podcast. But Sarah Koenig stopped being objective towards the end and spent more time advocating for his innocence rather than the actual truth. Now, this may have not been on purpose and could have just been due to the conflict of interest that was created with her speaking to Adnan so extensively over the time in the case. You could tell towards the end of the episodes that she had formed a sort of relationship with him, and this was the end of her objectivity. Now, don't blame her. He does seem to be a nice enough guy on the phone. But I'm sure that the 10-year-old boys who strapped a poor 2-year-old kid to the railroad tracks and beat him with an iron bar before leaving him for dead, they also seemed like nice enough kids. No one ever thought they would murder. There's quite a few cases of children who seemed completely normal and committed heinous crimes. It happens. And since Adnan was a teenager with unstable emotions, it would have been even harder to catch the instability, especially with him practicing lying on a regular basis. Those are just a few points, and despite all the evidence, Adnan is getting a new trial soon. There was a vote of 2-1 among 3 judges, citing the unuse of a witness that would have invalidated the prosecution's story of how the murder went down. My argument against this is, first of all, the witness, Asia, went against her original affidavit, saying that Adnan was at the library after school. And second, just because it doesn't happen exactly how the prosecution stated, doesn't mean Adnan didn't do anything wrong. There is another story of how it went down. This story was presented by Chris, who is one of Jay's friends, as being the first version that Jay told, and by default, the most accurate. He said that Jay had told them Adnan heard Hay was flirting with a car salesman, and Adnan decided to confront her about it. When she got angry at Adnan and saying that it was none of his business, Adnan decided to strangle her in the parking lot of the library, where Asia said she saw him in her original and soon-to-be-implemented testimony. This story makes everything fall into place. The only other witness's story is held true because it becomes a crime of passion, which is more characteristic of the wounds and Adnan's non-psychopathy. And it's the first story that Jay told, without the influence of cops or forgetting because of remembering it over and over again to testify. This is what I believe happened, but of course I could be wrong. These are really my main thoughts on the case.
To sum it up, Adnan has motive, a testimony against him, no alibi. He's somehow forgotten all the details of a day when someone that he supposedly loved was murdered, and has a background of secrets covered up by lying with ease. All these factors point more towards his guilt than him, and I quote, "seeming like a nice dude," end quote, points towards his innocence. Even if I am totally wrong about this case, I stand by my main point in the beginning, that people should leave enforcing the law to law enforcement, and the judging of criminals to judges and a jury. That's why there are rights put in place by the United States Constitution specifically for this kind of thing. The Sixth Amendment says that you're tried by a jury of your peers, And that's our involvement, and it should end there. No matter what happens with this trial, it shouldn't have been retried. We can't start doing this to every single case that pops up. We'd never get anything done. And it's not fair to other people out there who were convicted with the same kind of case who never got to be released. That's all I have time for today, but tune in next time for more of my rants about important topics.